Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 8th of April, recording at 9:42 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. And again, what a spectacular, it's supposed to be spring, but this is high summer here. Well, we'll enjoy it while it lasts, because we'll be freezing in August, no doubt. Okay, so this being Friday, it's a big picture long-term outlook, but first, a quick review of the week. Stock markets. Quietly steady, and I want to mention now. Interestingly, in here today, Japan had a good day, and China's had a good. China's had a good 3 weeks. So more on that in a moment. European stock markets mostly a little bit firmer in here. UK up to 6,055. Back above that psychological level. DAX up at 72.17. Wall Street eased a little bit here today, 0.4% on the S&P, which was down 5.34. Slightly larger fall on the NASDAQ. Brazil down a little bit. Toronto, Canada up a little bit. The long-dated government bonds, bond prices have slipped in here this week. That means that yields have pushed up, and that was pretty much every day for the U.S. Treasury yields. The U.S. dollar, this is interesting, the dollar is very weak in here, and today it's actually down against the Japanese yen, which was very weak earlier in the week, and the yen is still quite soft against many currencies, but a little bit firmer, as I say, in here against the dollar. The dollar yen has slipped down to 84.74 after 85.39. But the US dollar index, it's down below 75. We haven't seen that for a good while, and that may well lead to some concern. Certainly it will if that move continues. And just elsewhere on the currencies, we've got the, just to find them on the screen here, we've got the euro up to 144.77, sterling up to 163.90. And the mighty Aussie up to 1057. And precious metals, good day in here. Gold, which held its breakout at a little pause for, a couple of days, and broke through again here today, 1475. Platinum up to 1811. Good day in palladium, 7796. Let me repeat that, 796. Silver, which has been in the lead car here on this move in recent months, nearly 41. It's right at the close, right at the high, 40.95. Wow. That's up a dollar and nearly $1.40. Elsewhere, and that's still trading actually in this after-hours activity. Now, the industrial metals were all higher in here today. The grain and bean complex was quite firm, particularly wheat, soybeans also having a decent day. So, a lot of crude, good Lord, last but not least. Brent price is just above 113. So that's up $2.81. And then I'm just going to check that was the NYMEX, crude, up over $113. The Brent crude, 126.72 as I speak. That's up $4. So, okay. What's it all mean and where are we going from here? Well, the story that I've just reviewed here has been one of strong stock markets for 3 weeks in a row, strong commodity prices for 3 weeks in a row. Now, I think we've got a, or we'll soon have, a standoff here between the commodity markets and the stock markets. And I think it will be be very similar to a rugby scrum. Now that's an apt simile if you are interested in rugby. Of course you are. Well, many of you are. And so what we have are two powerful opposing packs here, which are going to go nose to nose in a very big way. Now, stock markets are fueled by those four sources of liquidity that I've been talking about every day in this audio, in these audios. And let me see if I can reconstruct them for you. There is, of course, Uncle Ben Bernanke's QE2, and that doesn't end until July. And rumor has it, and I go along with this, that he's going to, I beg your pardon, it's going, yes, it does end in July, at the end of June, that QE2 ends. And I think Bernanke intends to go out with a flourish. And one of his aims has been to get the stock market up, and he's succeeded in that. Now, another source of liquidity, and this is a newer one, has been coming from Japan. And with another big aftershock yesterday, or it was a whole new separate earthquake, I think Japan will be keeping the liquidity flowing. Although you can never be completely sure with that Bank of Japan governor, but I think they will. It certainly makes sense. It'd be almost absurd not to. Then we have the negative real interest rates. In other words, real interest rates adjusted for inflation are mostly below the rate of inflation. And so that's another tailwind behind stock markets. And then we have all those people who had piled into bonds, particularly in the United States, after 2008. And convinced because that everybody who was talking about a global depression was going to be right, and so they went way overweight in bonds and underweight in equities, and of course the pendulum's now swinging and has been for a while. It's swinging in the other direction, and there's plenty of room for it to continue to swing in the other direction with that liquidity coming out of the bond market. So those are your four big sources of liquidity. Now, in the opposite pack, we have something that I've mentioned so often as a concern, and you've seen the effect of this concern, not least in 2008, in the first half of 2008, when roaring commodity prices, first they frighten central bankers who start to push up interest rates, and they also weigh on growth prospects, not so much for the commodity exporting countries, but certainly for the commodity importing countries. And the most important of those commodities is crude oil. And here we have Brent crude up to a new high and $4 up on the day. And Brent is approaching that 2008 peak. And the NYMEX crude, which is mainly in the US, is trailing $13 behind, but it's still pushing higher. And we have the food commodities that are raging to the upside, particularly the staple foods. Those are the really important ones. Well, not all of them. Rice isn't, and that's good news for Asia so far. But I would not bet against rice being pushed up by the strength that we see in some of these other commodities. Now, is this real demand? Is it a classic supply and demand situation here that's causing this to happen? Or is it speculation? Now, usually it's a bit of both. I've just snagged my recording cord here. Hold on just a sec. Well, I'm not going to play with that. I hope I don't have a disaster here, but it's caught up in the wheel of my chair right now. Okay, let's see if we can get through this, folks. So that's again, I say that's going to be a problem. Now, who's going to win out here? Well, at the moment, in terms of the scrum, at the moment, the liquidity, and that's such a powerful force, is got the upper hand marginally. But if this goes on, if this continues with the commodity prices pushing upwards, that could be a real problem. And I think that commodities would ultimately win. Now, I did say, I think I raised the question before I ran into trouble here with the cord, of saying, is this real demand or is it speculation? And there's no doubt in my mind that there is a heck of a lot of speculation, but there has to be some incentive for the speculation, or for the speculators rather. They have to think it's a good idea to go in. And usually they're concerned, well, there's the demand factor, but with the commodities this time it's the supply factor that's the big issue, because we had all those problems last year with agricultural commodities. And some of the reports that are coming out on U.S. wheat, for instance, U.S. corn, these are not encouraging, even though it's very, very early days in the season. But you've got some hot, dry weather in the U.S. parts of the U.S. wheat growing region, up over 100 degrees Fahrenheit, so threatening to cook those little plants. And it's not a good situation. That's what happened in Russia last spring. And I told you how balmy it is here right now, although not so much so to damage crops. So, but the, and there's undoubtedly a good deal of speculation taking place in the oil markets, and that's a worry. And as I say, if this standoff continues in here, well, it won't indefinitely. I think that commodity prices push higher, that will eventually drag the equities down, and the higher equities go in the interim, the sharper that reaction might be. Now, I don't think it'll be enough to derail the overall bull market, and I am really quite optimistic about some stock markets, but I am concerned that we may see a sharp reaction in here in the not too distant future. Looking beyond that, and this market may shrug off the problem, the risks that I've just described, or not be affected that much by it. China. I think China's building up for a major move to the upside. It's certainly not overextended. It hasn't moved. You know, the story in a nutshell, which I've written about and talked about at length, but we had all that supply from the unlisted Chinese shares held by the government. And the government, really starting back in August of 2009, when they had a property bubble on their hands and the stock market was surging higher. Remember, it was one of the first to bottom in 4Q 2008, and then it started to push up, and was pushing up quite well in March 2009, when Wall Street was reaching its low. China was leading to the upside. You may well remember that. And But by August, though, the Chinese became concerned about a second bubble, and so they hit the stock market with a lot of supply, and that was to kill two birds with one stone, as it if you will, because that supply weighed on the stock market, and the extent of it was tremendous because they issued more stock than Wall Street was seeing in terms of new flotations and secondary offerings, to the tune of 2 to 1. So it's massive. Much smaller overall capitalization stock market in China, although it's getting pretty big. But 2 to 1 outweighing what was happening on Wall Street. And that was during last year, and it also started in August, as I mentioned, of 2009. And a lot of the stocks that were being issued, a lot of the supply coming from the government in China, affected the banks. And the banks were also were being required to raise reserve requirements to cap that property bubble. Now, I think China's got that under control, or they're in the process of getting it under control. It'll vary a little bit from region to region. The inflation story is more of a concern because that had been running probably unofficially at sort of the 8 to 10% level. Now, is China getting that under control sufficiently so that they're happy to have the stock market run and they don't need to raise interest rates too much further? That's the big question. And I don't know the answer to that, and I don't think the Chinese government even knows the answer to that. I think it only affects the timing in terms of when China breaks up out of this range. It's had 3 good weeks. You could go look at the dynamics, look at it on the Hang Seng Index, for instance. It takes 3 months to come down in the current range and 3 weeks to move back up. So the buyer is gaining the upper hand. And I think we could get quite a good run. We're at about, where are we on that Hang Seng Index? We are at closed today at 24,396, so almost 2,400. Another 600 points up to the upside, and it'll be starting to break out. I could do that next week if the commodity prices don't weigh on action. And once we get a clear break, once investors are convinced that the Hang Seng has broken through that 25,000 level, the pattern could support quite a significant additional advance. So I'm really quite bullish on that, and you can look in the China section of the chart library, and there are a lot of instruments for playing that, and I'm sure you'll be familiar with looking that up and how to access that, but ask if you're not. What else to mention here? Let's talk. Wall Street, I think, is a little bit more vulnerable to a reaction than other markets just because it's seen fewer reactions. But the belief in Mr. Bernanke and his last charge here with QE2 remains strong. And there's a little bit of, well, the momentum has slowed to the upside. My head short actually moved overall mildly into the money in here today, but no downward dynamic yet, which is what it really requires. What else? Okay, the long-dated government bonds, these yields have moved up, the prices are soft. The next big move is very likely to be the upside, but this will be a jagged move overall. Markets often show that. They don't go into a sustained run. What do I mean by a sustained run? Well, look what silver has done over the last few months. They don't go into something like that unless you are getting towards the end of an important medium-term trend, and I think silver is getting towards the end of an important medium-term trend, but that can be the best part of the run. More on silver in a minute here. So I think Wall Street, to say, is due for this some additional ranging towards the mean, and that would include a bit of a pullback overall. So don't be surprised if we don't have a bit of choppy activity. And the bottom line is that the higher oil goes, the more that will this or this the more that will represent a headwind for these rising stock markets. So, the air turbulence here might cause a bit of a bumpy ride overall. But I'm delighted the way the Fuller Money themes have performed. Listen, incidentally, to Mark Faber's audio broadcast. This has been so popular here today, so many people have been listening at it, that it's either been a little bit tricky to access it, or it has. I was listening to it, and it cut out at once. I think that traffic will decline a little bit in the next few days, and you've got the weekend. But don't miss it. It's very good. He likes the Fuller Money themes, which doesn't surprise me. But it's not exactly a PC broadcast, but he's a very candid guy, very experienced speaker, has a huge following. And a lot of what he says is hard to disagree with, but again, I commend it to you. I won't try to repeat the whole thing here in this audio. Now, precious metals. This silver run, everybody's asking what happens at 40. I wrote about that on Tuesday in a little bit of detail. So basically, we may well see some, well, the question is, big question is this going to run into trouble here at 40, as it ran into trouble at 30, and as it ran into trouble at 20? And that's a very interesting question. But if the dollar is goes on falling at the rate it is falling, it may not see more than a sort of a ranging pause here before moving higher. But the chart action will be everything at this stage. If you have a position there, and I know some of you do, I think it's trailing stop time. And I would have. I believe I've said that earlier. It's just common sense. When you get a trend that's running riot, go in and put some sort of technical or even financial stop. Just look at that chart and say, I don't want to see my position go below this level. Put your stop there. There's a risk that you get shaken out and then it goes up again. But if you get shaken out, it wasn't as good as you thought it was, and I'd be careful thereafter. On the other hand, but with that tactic, you are leaving the door open to some additional gains. And in an accelerated trend, the last part is the best of all. But the day after it stops being the strongest thing in the world, it becomes the biggest wimp in the world. Now, I've said that in chart seminars for decades, and I've said it on. In these broadcasts and in my copy, on a number of occasions, and it's a basic truism, because you get a buying climax and then you get a vacuum of demand, and it only takes a little bit of supply to cause everyone. Well, it's as if people shouted fire in a crowded theater, and people scramble for the exits. So enjoy it while it lasts. Gold looks safer here, but if silver were to peak, I would feel that gold was on a short fuse, and so gold could build up momentum here, and get a decent additional run. I'm happy I'm there, and I've got in the money stops on all my gold positions. I'm giving it reasonable breathing room here so far, but I will, I will tighten those stops up if it starts to accelerate. And you'd notice that we can be quite objective about acceleration. It'll look like an upward curve on the daily chart. I took a profit in my platinum today. It closed above where I sold it, but I did mention in yesterday's audio I've got to go to Paris to give this important talk at the NAET anniversary, and so I'm not going to be in the office on Wednesday, Thursday, or much of Friday. I will get in later on Friday. And I'm not going to do the audios on Monday and Tuesday because I've really got to. I'll do something, but I will need to be working on that presentation, and I will post that presentation so you'll get some value back on that for the it's compensation for the little less writing that I will be doing. It doesn't happen very often that I go off to give these talks, but they're also good. They add to the overall research, and these people are all energy experts, so I'll be interested to see what they have to say. And what else to mention? The industrial metals. The demand for these things is high. Yeah, I think it's both real demand, usage demand, and it's also speculative demand here. And I think that's covered most of the bases. Let's hope the crude oil price doesn't go too high in here. I don't even think that would be good for the energy investments, because the it would be a recipe for some weaker growth. Don't be surprised if we get a bit more choppy action in stock markets, but I think fuller money themes are well grounded overall. And the US dollar, this is really quite weak in here. That's a concern. Those of you who have a few bond shorts are probably pleased with the performance. I have a few target taking levels on a baby step basis in the markets on those. They have not been triggered yet. And that's pretty much it. So, have a fantastic weekend, and let's look forward to another exciting week in the markets next week. All the best.